You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a beautiful Friday. Temperature going to be off a little bit. Oh, it's still hot, but, you know, it is summer in the Midwest. That does happen. And there's no better place to come if it's hot than Family Leisure, where we're broadcasting live today. Everything you need to cool off and have fun at the pool. Like these young men. I can tell these young men right over here are clearly headed to a pool or a lake. I'm going to say they're expert swimmers, possibly water skiers. I'm not sure. But they definitely have the look of we're getting in water soon. And if you're looking for the pool, if you're looking for the spa, the hot tub, they got it all right here at Family Leisure, even like the exercise jets. That's what I want to get. Get me one of those pools where I can, you know, swim in one place. They got that right here as well. I know. I've looked at it. And everything's got to go. It's their summer clearance sale. So some great, great prices all over the place. The Gorilla Basketball Goals just got one. For my daughter, it's a lot of fun if you're looking to get outside and shoot some hoops. It's the best basketball goal around. Looks like it's like an NBA goal. We love it. We absolutely love it. They'll help you get it installed and everything going with that. Maybe you just need a new umbrella, right? Your umbrellas wear out over time. They got a sale on the seven and a half foot umbrellas that go in the middle of your table. So if you're going outside to do some eating, normally $124, just $81 in honor of us. Here at 810, so come take advantage of it. Coming up today from 3 to 6, the folks from Bull Grills are going to be doing a sampling and some grilling, some barbecuing. You can come taste some of those wonderful samples, see what you can do with those grills. Also from 4 to 8, their classic car show is going on. It's all at K10 and Ridgeview. Everything you need for your family's fun this summer, it's just sitting here. It's where I got my patio furniture, my basketball goal, my poker stuff back in the day I've had. I've been shopping here for 16, 17, 18 years. My patio furniture I've had for over 14 years looks like it's absolutely brand new. Come see him. Normally, Dennis Wood. Dennis is a no-show today. It's all right. We like it. Means we can get some things done. David taking care of us here today. Dennis is actually laid up. Got hurt. Back problems on vacation. That sucks. So, Dennis, if you're listening, we're thinking about you, buddy. You know we love you. You're the absolute man, but David and all the guys here got us taken care of and got you taken care of like they've taken care of my family for almost two decades here. K10 and Ridgeview, get out here and save a ton of money on fire pits, on patio furniture, everything you need. This is the time to come do some shopping, and this afternoon and evening is going to be a lot of fun here at Family Leisure. Every Friday they do the car show from 4 to 8. Let's talk a little NFL football. USA Today NFL writer Lindsey Jones joins us here on our Sprint Guest Line. Lindsey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. I'm thrilled. I'm in a great spot looking at just about a massive, like, warehouse-sized store of everything that's fun. So my only regret is that I can't take it all home. That's my only regret. So, I'm doing better than just sitting in a studio staring at Fast Talking Rob. So life is better. But I will say this. The reason we want to talk to you is because you don't share maybe quite the optimism that a lot of Chiefs fans have for the kind of season that Patrick Mahomes is going to have. What kind of season do you think he's going to have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that I'm not optimistic. I think I'm really, really excited to see that offense and what he can do. I just think that we might need to have some kind of realistic expectations for a guy who's started one game in the NFL so far, because, I mean, the learning curve in the NFL is really steep. And he, you know, he was in a great spot last year, and the relationship that he had with Alex Smith was about as ideal as you could have. I mean, that could have been so awkward. You know, Alex Smith could have made it very uncomfortable. He could have, you know, not been nice at all, not helpful at all to Patrick Mahomes during his rookie year as he was trying to learn. But, you know, but still, once you actually have to get on the field, it's much faster than you're used to. So many more things are going to get thrown at him than he saw in that Week 17 game against a Broncos team that was, you know, they played some of their starters on defense for a while, but that's not a good team. I live in Denver, and I was at that game, and I was very impressed by a lot of what I saw out of Patrick Mahomes. I went out to OTAs in Kansas City last month, so I got to see him a little bit in the spring, as he's, you know, now been in this offense for a little while as a starter, you know, throughout the spring. I think there's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to and optimistic about, but I think we should maybe tap the brakes on the, like, automatic Brett Favre comparisons. You know, I don't know if that's fair to Patrick Mahomes to have those sort of expectations on him this early when he's only started one game.
We've talked a lot of numbers here about what we think numbers wise, and I love how, you know, people they like. When I ask, I'll go through like all the receivers. I'm like, well, what do you think for Travis Kelce? Oh yeah, he gets 1,000 yards. What do you think about Tyreek? Oh yeah, he gets 1,000 yards. What do you think is going to happen with Sammy Watkins? Well, I think he'll get 1,000 yards. How about what about out of the backfield, Kareem Hunt? Well, you know, probably 500 yards. And I'm like, okay, listen. And then there's all the other guys, and then I say, how much? So they're penciling in about 3,500 yards just for those guys. I think last year from the non top guys, there was another like 600 yards receiving. They're coming in at 42, 43, 44. Some people, it's like 1,200, 1,100. They're getting up to like, almost 5,000 yards passing. And then I go, what do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to do? And they go, a little over 3,000. I'm like, there's a disconnect between what you're saying here. So you study this. You know how that works. That, somebody, there's only one football to throw around. Aaron Rodgers went 6-10 but put up good stats. Right, but we've seen Dak Prescott take the field, maybe not have ginormous stats, but really win a lot of games. What is your expectation, or what should Chiefs fans in your mind expect from him, both wins and losses and stats?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you kind of look at young quarterbacks around the league, rookies, second-year guys, a lot of it's pretty simple, the formula. I mean, there's still the outliers here and there, but usually the guys that have the most success are the guys that, one, have a talented roster around him, and Patrick Mahomes certainly has that on offense. I mean, you can't ask for a better kind of core in terms of a tight end, a running back. I think those some talented receivers. I don't know if the depth is necessarily there at the receiver position that maybe some other places have, but I think your top guys are, you can compete with just about anybody else around the league. But, they also have a really strong running game and a really strong defense. And I think the Chiefs have one half of that. The defense is also a big question mark, too. And are the Chiefs going to be asked to be, is Patrick Mahomes going to be asked to score 30 points a game? I mean, from what you're saying, it sounds like that's the expectation that, what Chiefs fans are expecting, and kind of the buzz that's going around there, that this is an offense that should be scoring 30 points a game. But, you're exactly right about exactly how the ball is going to be distributed. When I was out there last month, I talked to Sammy Watkins about this a little bit and said, what are you expecting in terms of numbers? And, and he has a pretty good perspective on it because, he came in as a, the number four pick in the draft and probably had expectations that he would be catching 100 passes and 1,000-yard seasons. And that just never really happened for him because of injuries. It's been a couple of years since he's had a 1,000-yard season. And he looks back at his year last year in L.A., where I think he had around 50 catches, well under 1,000 yards, but he saw it as his best season because, one, he stayed healthy the whole year, and, two, he really showed how much he could do without the ball in his hands. So I think a lot of the things that maybe we measure success out of these skill position guys isn't going to be strictly based on numbers of catches and yards. I think it'll be interesting to see as the games get going, and, we'll be able to see in training camp in the preseason, too, which guy really becomes Patrick Mahomes' kind of security blanket. Who's the guy that he's going to be going to always on third downs? Is it going to be a lot of check downs? Is it going to be Travis Kelce kind of, working that middle of the field area? There's been a lot of buzz that he's developing this good relationship with Sammy Watkins already. So, I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how it gets distributed and, and also how much are they running the ball? I think the Chiefs offense was at its best last year, obviously with a different quarterback, but they were at their best last year when Kareem Hunt was so involved, when he was getting a lot of touches, both carrying the ball and as a kind of receiving option for Alex Smith. And we saw in the last game of the year, that wild card game against the Titans, how much the offense suffered when they stopped feeding Kareem Hunt. So while everybody's so excited about Patrick Mahomes, and they should be, I think they should make sure that they remember that they've got one of the best young running backs in the NFL, and they can't completely go away from that.
I think you made it. We're talking to Lindsey Jones from the USA Today. I think you made a great point about, stats are not going to define, shouldn't necessarily be used as the only thing, or maybe, it just shouldn't be used too much. We shouldn't get too caught up in the stats of a player and determining success or failure. Look, if you win the Super Bowl like the Eagles, I don't think anybody in Philadelphia is caring about what the contracts are. But if you don't, allocating your resources properly is a big part of building a championship caliber team. $16 million a year for Sammy Watkins. He's averaged, now again, injuries have contributed to this, but he's averaged 750 yards and 6 touchdowns per season. What will be a success? What should Chiefs fans expect from him?
In terms of like yardage or.
I mean, he's got to make an impact. Would you say that I get that he said last year was his best season and he made some big plays for the Rams and was part of a really good offense. That's not going to fly so much here. Like if the Chiefs go and peter out in the first round of the playoffs, which is what they do, at least what they do under Andy Reid, unless you can get a Brian Hoyer-led team to play in the playoffs, they lose, right? And so that's why Patrick Mahomes is here. We want to be able to beat, you know, the Chiefs are thinking we got to beat the Ben Roethlisbergers and the Tom Bradys, and Alex Smith wasn't able to do that here in Kansas City. The Rams were coming at it with a different expectation, right? They just wanted to get back to being a playoff team. You know, he hangs 808 up there, and this team loses in the first round. People are going to be questioning why they put $16 million into him.
Well, yeah, and I think the thing, you know, and the thing with Sammy Watkins, too, is that he's being paid as a number one wide receiver, but he didn't kind of land in Kansas City with the expectation that he would have to be the number one receiver because of Travis Kelce, who, you know, is the number one receiving option in that offense or has been, you know, over the last several years. But I think you want to see him be that guy. He certainly has the physical tools to be that guy. And, you know, as exciting as Tyreek Hill is, and I don't know if there's anybody kind of more fun to watch on a play-to-play basis than Tyreek Hill. I don't know if he's built long-term to be a kind of a true number one wide receiver, just physically his stature, the number of things he can do. Like, do you want him having to be your number one option every time? And Sammy Watkins can and should be that guy. I mean, based on how he's built, his speed, his size, and I think he's shown glimpses of it that he can do it. So, you know, I think best case scenario and what you really want out of Sammy Watkins is that he will be your leading receiver. I don't know if he necessarily will be, in large part because of Travis Kelce, but I think, you know, I think you're going to need him to be a big red zone option and the kind of the big play kind of guy where, you know, they do so many kind of cool gadget things with Tyreek Hill where, you know, you never know where he's going to line up. He can basically turn any play, you know, break open any play. Sammy Watkins should be able to do that to you, too. He can take those quick screen passes, those little bubble screens and stuff, and he should be able to break those for long games. You need to have him doing that consistently, and you need him to be healthy and on the field for 16 games. And that's something he did last year, but he hasn't been able to show that he could do long term over his career.
Listen, if they win, if they go deep, even just maybe a Super Bowl appearance would probably be enough for the Chiefs fans.
Oh, but for sure. I think that would be. Let's win a home playoff game. Let's get there. I mean, that playoff loss, that Titans one, I just remember trying to, like, rank other heartbreaking losses. And that one was just so frustrating because that was a game they absolutely should have won. And, yeah, having a better receiving core I think will certainly help. And but, you know, I think they're going to need a lot of help on defense to get there as well. I mean, I don't think they strictly lost that, you know, didn't win a playoff game last year because of things that happened to the offense. I think the run defense had a big part of that as well. And I've got a lot of questions about how much better this defense is going to be this year.
Sure. And that's the thing is, like, I think for $16 million, you come close to being able to have signed Ndamukong Suh and Muhammad Wilkerson to help out on your defensive line. And so that's, you know, right now nobody's saying that, but if the Chiefs get boat raced, even if the offense is good, especially if it's good and Watkins doesn't do a whole lot, if he's just Jeremy Maclin-esque, which this town was very excited about a few years ago, if he just does something like that and they're still getting boat raced, you know, 38-35 and they come out of the gates because they got a challenging schedule to start, I know the calls that are coming. It's like, could have got Sue, could have got Wilkerson, you know, all these defensive guys will be mentioned. And, you know, you're adding, he's going to be considered a luxury piece. So he needs to go out and play. There's no doubt the contract's going to draw attention to him. We're talking to Lindsay.
And you're exactly right about the first game. I mean, we're going to learn a lot week one against the Chargers for sure.
Yeah, and that is actually, you know, the NFL, it seems more and more is like that with how close these games are, but a really big game even in week one. We're talking to Lindsay Jones here from the USA Today. Case Keenum, most people think, at least most people, I'll tell you my view. My view is Case Keenum's there because they took a shot with Paxton Lynch. They either didn't want to or didn't think they could get to a quarterback that they could invest in the future, and so they're looking for the final, you know, Peyton Manning 5.0, the Peyton Manning that realized, okay, I can't throw anymore. I need to come out, just manage the game and let the defense win it. An Alex Smith-style quarterback. That's what I think Alex Smith is. You seem more optimistic that he's more than that. Why?
Yeah, well, I think I think Alex Smith was there. If they could recreate any sort of thing with Case Keenum, I think it would be Alex Smith. I think, all last season, you know, when we were kind of figuring out what are the Broncos going to do next year, what are the Chiefs going to do next year, I kind of always thought, you know, maybe Elway would see if he could make a trade and get Alex Smith, because they really just need somebody who's going to not hurt the offense. And I mean, that was their biggest problem last year, is that no matter which guy was playing quarterback, whether it was Simeon, Brock Osweiler, or Paxton Lynch, they couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, it was turnover, 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 whether it's interceptions. So, I mean, they just couldn't, it was very, very hard to watch, unless you're a Chiefs fan, where I think that Trevor Siemian had his complete meltdown against the Chiefs that ultimately got him benched. They really need a guy who's going to, you know, manage the game. And they're not afraid to say that they want Case Keenum to be that kind of guy and be a game-managing quarterback, because they still do have a lot of really good pieces on defense. They've got some, they still have a good receiving core with Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and then these rookies that they drafted. Running game is a big question mark after releasing C.J. Anderson, and then the failed Jamal Charles experiment from last year. He's gone and still a free agent. So they're going to have a new starting running back, a young guy, you know, maybe Devontae Booker, maybe D'Angelo Henderson, maybe their rookie Royce Freeman. But it's going to be a new running game, kind of a new offense. So, you know, I think I have the same questions that everybody does about Case Keenum, is we want to know, was last year an aberration for him in Minnesota? Is he going to be the guy that he was in Minnesota last year? Is he going to be the guy that he was for his first 5 or 6 years, where he was, you know, a number two, a number three, you know, or a starter with the Rams in one of the worst offenses, you know, we've seen in a really long time in the NFL? So, you know, the Broncos are kind of went all in and assuming that he's going to be the guy he was last year in Minnesota. When you put the right guys around him, when you put the right coaching staff and right scheme around him, all those sorts of things kind of give him the confidence that he's going to be the starter. But that's a big gamble. And if it doesn't work, they're going to be drafting high next year and back in the market for a quarterback early. And I mean, that's kind of the big thing on John Elway's kind of tenure as general manager, is that he hasn't been able to figure out this quarterback thing, other than obviously signing Peyton Manning, but he hasn't been able to draft one. He hasn't been able to find one in the last 2 years. So there's a lot of pressure on Keenum and Elway and Vance Joseph, who almost got fired at the end of last year, to really figure this out and make it work.
Do you expect the defense to be as good as it was last year? I mean, usually those things erode. It's one or two players, yeah, you know, each year for several years, and all of a sudden you're the Seahawks and you're not what you used to be. I mean, how much longer can this defense be, or has the window already closed on them being dominant?
I would expect that they're still going to be a top 10 defense. I think top five is certainly possible. The question that I've had about the Broncos defense over the last couple of years is, when you look back, you remember the 2015 defense that won the Super, you know, 2015 Broncos that won the Super Bowl, in large part because of that defense. They were really, really nasty. They were mean. They got a lot of personal fouls. You know, they really played up to and across that line a lot of times. It was because of guys like Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan, T.J. Ward, and Aqib Talib. And all of those guys are gone now. And you still have some really talented guys. Obviously, Von Miller is, you know, I'd put him in the probably top three players in the NFL, regardless of position. You know, Chris Harris, their other cornerback, went to KU, you know, a really good all-pro player. But you lost a lot of that bite that made that defense so special. And, you know, they've added in some new pieces. They really like their young safeties, especially Justin Simmons, but he is complete opposite personality-wise from T.J. Ward. You know, they're asking a lot of Bradley Roby, who's former first-round pick in his contract year right now, but he doesn't quite have the same, you know, bite to him as Aqib Talib did. You know, he's not going to be yanking a chain off of Michael Crabtree's neck. And, you know, maybe obviously you don't want a guy who's going to start a fight and get ejected. But at the same time, that was one of the things that kind of made them special, was that they had this really, you know, kind of wild card enforcer guy on the back end. So, so it's a lot of questions. I mean, I think they added Bradley Chubb, who kind of had a reputation in college of being an instigator. You know, he would pull quarter towels off of quarterbacks and talk a lot of trash. And, you know, I think they kind of need that attitude again. to kind of get back to that dominating defense that we saw over the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they fall off a little bit, but they still do have some really, really good pieces and should have a really good pass rush.
All right, we're talking right now to Lindsey Jones, USA Today NFL writer. Time for our Mosquito Squad Final Four. Four quick questions for you, Lindsey. You just tell me the first thing that pops into your mind, and I'll start you with this. What do you feel? And we won't hold you to it. There's still time, preseason, injuries that always unfortunately happen in the preseason, so I'm not going to hold you this. But right now, what do you feel in the Chiefs' record is going to be this year?
How about 9-7?
Okay, I'll take that. All right, more touchdown passes the next 4 years. Is it Patrick Mahomes or Alex Smith?
Mahomes.
Okay, everybody. That's the popular answer. We're certainly hoping that's the deal. All right, the AFC West champ will be who?
Chargers.
Okay, don't like that, but I understand it, certainly. And does Andy Reid ever win a Super Bowl with the Chiefs?
No.
Yeah, that's taking the math, I'll tell you that. No, it is. I mean, I hate to say it. I hope not, but he'd be the longest tenured coach ever to win his first Super Bowl. He passed Bill Cowher. I think Cowher was at year 14 or something. So I think when he didn't get it done his last year in Philadelphia, he'd now be the longest tenured coach ever to win his first Super Bowl. It usually doesn't come late in your career. So you statistically answered everything correctly. Well done, Lindsey.
I'm going with the majority here.
Yeah, I mean, you're going with the math. I don't like to be, you know, everyone's like, oh, say something bold, and then you do, right? You pick a 7 seed to win the NCAA tournament, then everybody mocks you because you didn't take Duke. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, I like it. The answers are all solid. Lindsey, hey, I really appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
That sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right, you bet. Lindsey Jones, USA Today NFL writer. We'll take a break, react to a couple things she had to say here in a little bit. But Matt Galloway, right? He's coming up next. Is that right? Matt Galloway, beat writer for the Kansas Jayhawks. The story that is breaking today is that Maryland has confirmed that they have been subpoenaed in the FBI investigation of college basketball, and that it centers around the recruitment of Sylvia DeSouza. That would seem that Kansas has either already been subpoenaed or will be subpoenaed very soon. We'll talk about that and the fact that Jeff Long is the new athletic director at Kansas and his unique contract that protects him should they end up on some kind of probation. That's coming up next. We're coming to you straight out of Family Leisure. It's K-10 in Ridgeview, one of my favorite stops here in Kansas City. Love coming out here doing the show because I love going around and shopping. They have been so good to my family. So many things we've got. Listen, if you're headed to the pool, the lake, it's your one-stop shop for everything you need to get out and have some fun in the water. Pools, spas, grills, outdoor patio furniture, the Gorilla basketball goals, the finest goal. Your neighbor's got a great cool basketball goal. I guarantee it's the Gorilla goal. And the lowest prices in town are right here on the Gorilla basketball goal. So if you're in the market for that, come out here and take advantage of it. 7.5-foot umbrellas are just $81. They usually go for $124. If you got your table and that umbrella is worn down, you need a new one, come get them for just $81 right now from 3 to 6 today. The Bull Grills. Folks from Bull Grills are going to be doing a grilling and barbecuing demonstration so you can enjoy some samples. And 4 to 8 every Friday, they do the Classic Car Show, and it's going on tonight and every Friday throughout the summer right here at Family Leisure, K-10 and Ridgeview.